scripture this morning comes from 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it.
Lord, we pray that you will speak to us today. We open our hearts, we open our minds to hear the words that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is lived better in community rather than in isolation. As we've been studying, these prophets had learned the value of community. It seems that they had outgrown the place where they gather at. They had increased in number. So they decided to go build a bigger place near the Jordan. And first, they asked the prophet Elisha, "Could we go and do this?" And secondly, they invited him to go with them. They show us how much they really care and loved and honor the prophet. As they were cutting down the trees, one of them accidentally dropped his axe head in the water. And they were all concerned and wanted to help him. The man who dropped the axe head was in anguish. Because on top of that, the fact that he couldn't finish his work, he couldn't really be productive, it was borrowed. So right away, one of them went looking for the prophet Elisha. Perhaps you're wondering here this morning, how can this story relate to my everyday life? I'm so glad you asked. The axe head symbolizes our cutting edge, our purpose, our joy, our passion for Christ. I don't know if you can remember the first time when you asked Jesus to come into your heart. The joy, the excitement of that love. But then life happened. And like a balloon loses its helium, little by little, perhaps you began to lose your joy and your passion for Christ. I'd like for you to answer this question in your heart this morning. Are you still as passionate for Christ as you were when you first welcome him into your heart? If the answer is yes, hallelujah. If the answer is no, then we must ask ourselves, when, where, and how we lost that passion and joy. Was it because of burnout? The prophet lost his axe head while he was working. And sometimes we spend more time doing than being. We could be in the church every day. We could be doing all kinds of things. But as we're doing it, we're complaining. Why do I have to be here every day? Why isn't there somebody else to do it? Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Because there's only a few doing all the work, and there's a bunch out there sitting down as spectators, like watching a football game. Or did you lose it because of a loss of priority? Or maybe gradually you allow sin to come into your life and take over? Or was it that we dropped that heavenly vision that God gave us to a man-sized vision? Where, how, when? I do recognize the fact that there might be some people here this morning who might be thinking, I'm not going to get anything out of this message because I really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I just go through the motions. It's a good thing to do on Sundays to get up and look pretty and go to church and be in community for a little while and get to see my friends and tell them everything that's happening in my life, give them a hug, and then on to next Sunday. I understand that. Once upon a time, I didn't know Christ either. I knew of him, but I did not know him personally. Nevertheless, we're glad you're here. And the bottom line is, we all need a cutting edge, a passion, a purpose, a reason why we wake up every morning. It's very easy to lose focus of what's really important in life. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ ought to be a priority if we call ourselves Christians. He wants us to be intimate. He wants to have a relationship with us. I know it happens, but I just have a hard time understanding how people can come to church every Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, there's no devotional time, there's no prayer time, there's no husband praying for the wife in the marriage or for the children, there's no family, we used to call them family altar time, when the family gather around the table. Anybody remembers that? And daddy used to pray. And mama used to pray. Somehow, because we got tablets now, we got computer and we got TV and all kinds of phones. There's another new phone coming out and all that. We fool ourselves into believing that we don't really need Jesus that much anymore. We could fix it ourselves. Another way of losing our passion for Christ is when we allow sin to enter into our lives. We lose sight of what's really holy anymore. And the presence of God in our lives begins to disappear. We're not holy anymore. Author Roger Palm says, holiness is a behavior as well as a belief. It is the difference between good and best. You see, sometimes we lose our passion for Christ because we no longer have an appetite for his presence in our lives. And we begin to take our eyes off of him, just like Peter did. And remember what happened to him? He began drowning. Unfortunately, many times we don't reach the finish line or accomplish what God has called us to do because we allow the dream killers, the vision destroyers, the fire suppressors to extinguish the fire of God in our lives. We begin to listen to their negative words, as we heard from James today. Their criticisms and all their isms. And before we know it, the passion is gone. The energy is drained out of us. The fire is extinguished. And that dream that we had of that business, that child, is dead. The burning passion that we once had for life is no longer there. It is instead replaced by feelings of inadequacy, disappointment, and we rehearse the negative thoughts over and over and over again. Those words that someone spoke over us that were negative, instead of falling asleep at night when we put the head on the pillow, we begin to hear those words over and over again. Like I said, that business then, we tell ourselves will never flourish. That marriage will never work. That kid will never change. He or she will never amount to anything. The church will never prosper. And on and on and on. And sometimes we're the ones telling ourselves that. Not the neighbor. We do it ourselves. We send ourselves and our bodies and our minds the negative message. We start believing that we're a total failure just because we listen to the wrong voices, or because we are trapped by our sins and our own failure. When in reality, our failures can become our fertilizers. We allow the failures to define us instead of allowing the Word of God to define us. That's why the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved so you know what you believe and why you believe it. As we study his word, we become like him. We're conformed to his image. So and so might say that you're a failure, but the word of God says you're precious in his sight. I read this powerful statement in one of my devotional books this week. And I really want you to take this home with you. He says, to change our words, we must address the deeper emotions of our hearts. Are we speaking to ourselves and to others from a place of pain or out of a longing of unmet needs? Unmet needs will kill us. Sometimes they're so strong we don't even tell ourselves that we're suffering from those unmet needs. And we get upset with the partner, the child, the spouse, the coworker, because he or she is not meeting our needs when they don't even know about it. They don't know that that's your expectation. But we're quick to judge rather than looking inward and being brutally honest and asking ourselves, what are the needs in my life that are not being met? And sometimes we get married or we get into partnerships with certain friends because we want them to meet our needs. rather than for us growing up and saying, I need to find God so he can meet my need. Because he's the only one that truly can. And some believers are not even conscious of their losses. They just go through the motions, but there's no devotion. They're just depressed. They're just upset. They're just oppressed. And they go through life like that. Because it takes work to look inside. And it hurts to sit at that counselor chair and say, I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess. Can you help me out? Help me, Holy Ghost. The prophet was conscious of his loss. As a matter of fact, he was in deep distress about his loss. And on top of that, it was borrowed. Like many of us in the church wanting to go around, be happy on borrowed emotions. They come to church, preacher, preach me happy. They talk to the spouse, make me happy. I don't love him or her anymore. She doesn't make me happy. He doesn't make me happy. Well, go make yourself happy then. The question for us today would be, where did you lose the sense of God's presence and power in your life? Where? Was it when we cease spending quality time in prayer with the Lord every day? Or when we stopped attending church? Because we began to associate with people that had better things to do on Sundays than going to church? Or was it when you unconsciously or consciously began to play with sin, like Samson did, believing I could lose myself anytime I want to? Until that day that he played the game a little bit too much. Bound by pornography, bound by drug addiction, bound by gossiping, overeating, you name it. We get addicted because we have a pain, and addiction numbs the pain. That's all. And we're always looking for a new fix, a new church where people act better. Never gonna find it. We're all messed up. We must tell Jesus where we lost it. Then we will see the miracle take place. Because the cross of Jesus always leads home. Notice, Elisha didn't give him the axe head. He had to reach for it himself. Everything you and I need, God has provided through Jesus Christ. However, we must reach out and receive it. This prophet that lost the axe head had to bend down, reach out, extend himself to get it out of the water when it started floating. We too need to be brutally honest with ourselves, find out where we lost it, and reach out for it, for the blessing, for the passion. It doesn't matter how many times we fall. We fail, we get lost, we lose ourselves. What truly matters is what we do when we get back up. Alexander Graham Bell failed more than a few times before he made that telephone work. Thomas Edison When questioned about all the times he had failed, I love this man. I hope I meet him in heaven. This is what he replied. I did not fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Get it? Albert Einstein did not speak until he was 4 years old. Did not read until he was 7. As a matter of fact, he was sent home with a note. The teacher said, "This child is too dumb. I cannot teach him anymore." He came home, I'm going to use one of these, with a little note. He gave it to his mama. Praise God, his mama was a wise woman, a woman of faith. He said, "Mama, could you read the note?" He said, and she said, "Okay. The note says that you are such a smart child that the teacher cannot teach you anymore, so I am going to teach you myself." Praise the Lord. And on top of that, she said, "And one day, my son, you will change the world." When his mother died many, many years later and he came to clean the house, he found that note. He couldn't believe it. And he said, "That note changed my life." Watch your words. Bible says they're a weapon, fully loaded. They give life or death. As a matter of fact, it says life or death. Or life and death are in the power of the tongue. Walt Disney. I've read that he attempted to get financing for his dream world over 300 times before he finally obtained it. And one of my favorites, Harlan Sanders. Some people say, "I'm too old for that. Let somebody else do it." He didn't. Praise the Lord. He was a retired gentleman. He had this great recipe for fried chicken. Oh, Lord, I love fried chicken. I know I shouldn't eat it, but I love it and I enjoy it while I'm eating it. And I thank God for him. Do you know that his recipe was rejected 1,009 times? And he kept trying. You see, the key to the success of all these individuals was not the recipe or the dream, but the way they dealt with losses and failures. Today, Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts, gently asking us, "Where did you lose your passion, your purpose, your joy?" And today, he's ready to restore us. Are we going to allow him to? Gets to a point that it gets boring to wake up in the morning and say, "Oh God, it's morning." Amen. Let us pray. I want to invite you to just close your eyes. Sit straight. Uncross your legs. Shake your shoulders a little bit. Take a deep breath. Let it out slowly. And now let us do some introspective prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you. to show us the places in our hearts, in our lives, where we have lost our joy, our purpose, our cutting edge. For that dream that you gave us, for that business, for that new life, for our relationship with you, our spouses, our friends, for the relationship with ourselves. As David would speak to himself and would say, "Oh soul, why are you downcast? Look inwardly. Minister to us, oh Holy Spirit." And now visualize yourself bringing to the Lord all those areas of losses. Our relationship with Him, with others. Surrender all of that. Bring it to the foot of the cross. Father, you are the God of the divine exchange. We give you our doubts, and you give us your faith. We give you our sickness, and you give us your healing. We give you a broken, messed up heart, and you give us that peace that passes all understanding. Now we give you our losses. You promised that you would restore to us everything that the locust has eaten. And so now we open our arms, our hands, and we receive all that you have for us this morning. Oh, fill our hearts, Holy Spirit. May we walk out of here today ready with hearts full of joy and purpose and love for you. This we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.